evil out there, and there are things to be, fearful of. But we see here that, you know, if we're walking with God and He's protecting us, again, it doesn't erase the fear, it doesn't erase the situation, but it lets us know He's right there with us. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And of course, we look at shadows, shadows themselves. If you did a little bit of an investigation on shadows or study on shadows, you would see that they're dark. And so sometimes that's good. You know, if you're trying to see something on your phone outside and the sun's just like, you're trying to get it under something, you know, so you can see, you're trying to cause a shadow because it helps and so forth. But if you're out in, not this time of the year, with it being in the teens today, but in this coming summer, where it's getting close to that 100 degree, and you like the shadow or you like the shade because it's a little cooler. And so sometimes, depending on the weather, if it's like it is today, you like the sun to hit you, and you're like, oh, okay, that makes it bearable. Then you reverse it, and you want to get into the shade. But shadows are dark and cold. Again, and sometimes maybe scary. And then we see that another thing about shadows are they usually seem bigger than they really are. And so, I remember walking down the road before when I was a kid, and, you see your shadow. I mean, you look like you're 9 feet tall when you're only 3 feet tall. And so they usually seem bigger than they are. And that's exactly what the devil will try to do. And, not diminishing the fact that there are valleys and there are shadows of death and things like that. But sometimes that's what the devil will do. He'll make them seem bigger than they are. And make us scared, and where what we need to do is not focus on the bigness or the size of the shadow or the valley or anything else that would cause that, but look at the bigness of God. And that's what the devil does. He tries to delude lie and say, God can't handle it but He's bigger than any valley. He's bigger than any shadow. He's bigger than anything that would be cold and dark and scary. And so this is the mindset that we have to have. And then I think I've shared this story before, but shadows, they make things look bigger than they really are, and so forth. Because maybe to us, if we're comparing the situation to us, that's a huge situation. I'm small. I can't handle this. But if we say, He's right there with us. He's going to walk with us through that valley. And compared to God, that situation, that shadow, that thing that we might be scared of, doesn't measure up to God. And so I was going to say that I did this to my little brother, the one that's in heaven. I was in the Cub Scouts, and I had my little bandana, with a little slide-up thing, and I had my outfit, my hat, and I had a canteen. Let's see here. What all else did I had a flashlight, a Cub Scout flashlight. And I remember the night that I got my Cub Scout flashlight, I was on the top bunk because I was the older brother. My younger brother, he just came out of his crib and he was in the lower bunk, and so forth. And so I was shining that flashlight on the ceiling of our bedroom, and I would take my hand and I would go over top of that flashlight, and it looked like this humongous hand was coming over our room and going to get it. And so, being the big brother that I was, I was embellishing a little bit, maybe freaking him out a little bit because he wasn't quite 2 years old yet, and I was probably 6 or 7, so I thought it was funny. And so anyway, but it definitely was not for real. It could not do any damage to us, and it looked way bigger than it really was. And so again, a lot of people might say, Christianity, you're just trying to do away with the bad. We would like to, but we can't because there's sin in this world. And the devil is loose to go to and fro and things like that. So we can't say, there's just nothing out there to be scared of. There's nothing out there that could hurt us. There is. All right? But the key for the Christian is when we walk through that valley of the shadow of death, God's holding our hand. He's not going to let anything happen to us. and so forth. So that's what we have to look at when we think, yay, I might have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm not going to fear any evil because God is right there with me. He's going to comfort me and guide me. So another thing about shadows is that you can't have a shadow without the sun. All right? And so obviously we know that we're talking about, you know, some type of blocking of the sun that's creating the shadow. So scientifically, I get it. All right? But in that statement right there, you can't have the shadow without the sun, S-O-N, scientifically speaking. But spiritually speaking, you can't have a shadow without the, you know, S-O-N. Not the S-U-N, the S-O-N. So in other words, God allowed it. So if we are going through a shadow or a valley of the shadow of death, that God allowed that. He knows right where we are. It wasn't like, oh man, I forgot. I need to run over here and help Brother So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so real quick because they're... No. He's right there. And so, of course, we've seen in the Bible, different things that God has allowed. Sometimes, maybe we brought the shadow on ourselves with some type of decision we made. And God's like, oh, but He's still right there. He didn't say, well, tough. You created it. You got to go through it yourself now. No, He loves us. He's going to be right there. So the shadow, you can't have that shadow without the sun. So up until now, the shepherd, according to Psalm 23 here, up until now, the shepherd had been leading us, if we're, speaking, in our lifestyle as far as the Christian life. He led us to green pastures. He has led us to still waters. We've seen one where He's leading us down paths of righteousness. Said, okay, no, choose this path. This is a righteous path. Here's the unrighteous path. Now, we want to choose this. So in all those, I guess, phrases that we've looked at, God has been leading us. Now, we see now it doesn't say that He's leading us in the shadow of death. He's allowing it. And he's right there with us. And so like I just mentioned, there's sometimes we create the shadow. We cause the bad and so forth. But God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So even if we take off down the wrong path, God's gonna be right there. He's not gonna leave us. Now He's gonna allow things to happen. He's going to hopefully, He will offer us some help, offer us some maybe how to fix it, things like that. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. So Hebrews 13:5b says there, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so, of course, you could go through the Bible, and we'll just mention a few. And I've mentioned these before, but Daniel was in the lion's den, but he wasn't in there alone. He was in the valley of the shadow of death. He could have been eaten. But God was right there with him, and He closed the lion's mouth and kept him safe. And so he was in a valley of the shadow of death, and I'm sure he was scared. He was nervous. But God said, hey, nothing to be scared of. Even though you're in the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. All right, because I'm right here, and He obviously closed the lion's mouth. Of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's friends, they were in the fiery furnace. And it was said, turn it up 7 times hotter than normal. And, if you were even close to the entrance of it, it said it would just burn you to pieces. And so I don't know who saw, but somebody looked in there and they said they saw 4. We only put 3, but there's 4. So He said, even though they were in the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. Because the only thing that's going to be burned from you is the ropes that they bound you with, but I'm going to protect you. And of course, the storms that we read in the Bible, He's right there with them saying, peace be still. Or He's right there with them saying, hey, grab a hold of a piece of something. I'm going to get you all the way back to the shore. Nobody's going to perish. And so, why? Fear no evil. I'm with you. He was under a juniper tree before. Preacher had, called down fire from heaven. Then, some woman had said she was going to have him put to death. And he went and, pouted a little bit and hid under a juniper tree. And God fed him. And God says, I'm going to take care of you. And then we see that, all the way through the Bible and then even in our day and time. I've been by the bed when somebody has taken their last breath. Obviously, I didn't see God. But I felt His presence. And I saw that the Christian that was in the bed, that was passing away, was pleasant. And they were ready to go. And I've heard of other stories on the other way of that. Don't let them take me. Where they're reaching out, you see Jesus right there, and so forth. So we see, even though you go to the valley of the shadow of death, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, Jesus is going to be right there with you, and He's going to lead you in those paths. And that's what He's talking about here. So, Psalm 139 verse 8 says this, If I ascend into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. So if I'm a Christian, if I cause the shadow, if I chose to go down through the valley of the shadow of death, God's not going to say, okay, butt with your own head. You caused it. You did it. Live with it. No. He's like, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. And so whether I allow the shadow or whether it was a decision that I made or whether God just allowed the shadow, He's going to be right there with us. So first, number one, we're going to look at what can be the most scary about the valley. And we're going to look at a few things that could be the most scary. The first was this. To have a valley, you have to have two mountains. All right, one on each side. Okay, and you can look at it. And again, I've been driving a little bit this week. And with this snow on the ground and the leaves gone, you can say, my soul. Especially you start going east a little bit. I mean, they start getting high. And so if you were in a valley, if you look, I can't get out that way, there's no way. I can't get out that. There's no way. So that could be scary. How am I going to get out? So first thing we can realize is when we're in that valley, it can be scary because the mountain's on each side. So what we need, and God says, I'll be right there with you. What we need, first of all, is direction. Direction. And of course, the most famous verse we know about in the Bible about directions, Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And so, just like this verse says, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, I'm going to be with you. What we need to do is acknowledge that. God, I know whether I chose this path, or whether I caused this valley, or if You're just allowing me to go through this valley, I know You're right here. So this is why we can fear no evil, because we have to acknowledge God's presence. In Psalm 119, 105, after we acknowledge His presence, here's a good way. If you have a flashlight, if you have light, it kind of takes away a little bit of the scariness. Okay, now obviously we know unless you got one of them super down and whopping flashlights, it only goes so far. And I think even if you have a super down and whopping flashlight, I don't know what that is, but it only still goes so far. You can't see everything. But we see Psalm 119, 105 says, here thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So after I acknowledge His presence, next thing I need to do is go to the flashlight or go to His Bible or go to the Word. And so what that'll do, it'll shed some light on the subject. So I'd say, okay, God, this is a valley. There's a big old mountain right there. There's a big old mountain right there. I'm a little scared. I'm a little nervous. So what I want to do first is acknowledge that I know You're right here with me. Second thing I need to do is go to the Bible, whether it be literally going to the Bible and reading or just allowing the Holy Spirit to bring back verses that you've hid in your heart and promises that you've claimed. And like I just read Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Paul, different people, Elijah, and say, God, You were with them. Right? You say You're no respecter of persons. And so I'm going to turn some light on right here. That You helped Daniel, and You helped Elijah, and You're going to help me. And so that's what he's saying. This will shed some light on it if you go to the Bible. So acknowledge Him. Secondly, go to the Bible. Number three is found in Luke 3:4. What do we got to do? Once He gets us out of this situation, we need to straighten up. Straighten up. Especially if it was us that caused the valley. In other words, don't do that again. Okay? If you've acknowledged Him and you went to His Word and He's directed you out and you're out on the other side or you've gotten out between those two mountains, you're out of that valley, all right? We ought to learn. We ought to straighten up. And that's what it says in Luke 3:4. It says this, as it is I'm sorry, as it is in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." All right. So if I'm lost in that valley and it's crooked as all get out, if God says, "Okay, God, I'm acknowledging that you're here. I'm going to go to your word and claim some of your promises and let you direct me out of this." And then once I get out on the other side, thank you, Lord. And especially if I'm the one that calls that, help me never to do that again. Help me never to go through that valley again. And Isaiah 59:8 says this, "The way of peace is known not, and there is no judgment in their goings, and he hath made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth there shall not know peace." And so again, some things we can learn about this valley. Acknowledge he's with you. Find the scripture. Let him direct you out of there. And then once you get out, again, especially if it was us that caused it, "Lord, I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to stay on the straight and narrow. I don't want to go down those crooked paths anymore." And so what we did, we asked for direction. Second thing we need to do is we're in there, and those mountains are on each side. And, sometimes he directs, he gets us out. "I promise you, Lord, I'm not going back in there." But sometimes he doesn't get you out. All right? He doesn't do that. Let's look and see what else. Second thing we can do if we see those mountains on each side is realize that we can think there's no hope. There's no way I can get out of this. But God says in the Bible that he can make our feet like hinds' feet. And say, okay, you didn't cause this. The world and the devil and the sin caused you to get right here. And there's a mountain on this side and there's a mountain on this side and you think you're done. But God can show up. He's bigger than the valley. He's bigger than both sides of the mountains. He's bigger than us. He's bigger than the devil. And the Bible says, hey, he can make your feet like hinds' feet. And let's read a couple of verses about that. Habakkuk 3:19 says here, "The Lord God is my strength." So if we've acknowledged him and we've looked in the Bible and he's not directing us back out, but he's like, "Look, I'm going to make you go up that mountain. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instrument." And so we see here that God might lead us out of that valley. He might lead us through that valley. But he also might say, "Pick the one on the right and start climbing. Pick the one on the left and start climbing. I can't do it." The Bible says God can make your feet like hinds' feet. Psalm 18:33 and 2 Samuel 22:34 say the exact same thing. Psalm 18:33, 2 Samuel 22:34 both say this: "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places." And so again, he might say, "You're going to have to climb out of here, but I'm going to make your feet like hinds' feet." Hind is kind of like, the Bible also calls them heart, H-A-R-T, not ka-thumpity-thumpity heart. All right, different spelling. But a heart. So a hind and a heart is just like a deer. Or maybe like a mountain goat. You may have seen maybe on the Discovery Channel or something like that. Or maybe you've actually been somewhere where you've seen mountain goats. I mean, they just walk right up like it's no problem. And I mean, I would be like hanging on to the side, and they're just like walking around. They're very sure-footed. And that's what God's saying, "Hey, if you have to climb out of here, I got you." All right, I can make your feet like hinds' feet. Most of the time you see a deer around here, and they're pretty sure-footed. The only time I've seen them where they're not sure-footed is when they're walking where we're driving. We had three run across in front of us the other day, almost to the house. And as soon as they hit that pavement, newspaper, like flipping, flapping, and sliding, and things like that. But when they're in the grass and on the hills and things like that, they're very sure-footed. So that's what God's saying. Hey, acknowledge me, go to my scripture, and I might lead you out. Here's another place. If you're in that valley, I may just make your feet like hinds' feet. I'm not going to give you direction, but I'm going to give you strength. And we're going to climb up that. Then, here's a third way. Not only can God give us direction out of the valley, or He can give us strength to climb up the mountains, He's also, the Bible calls it, in the mountain-moving business. All right? God says that in Matthew 17:20, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." So God can just move the mountain. So what happens when you read a verse like this? We've acknowledged God's presence, and now we've went to the Scripture, and the Scripture says, if I have faith, I can say to that mountain, get out of my way, and it gets. So what happens is, what we do immediately, and the first time I ever read it, and even when I just read it just a second ago, this will happen to us. We're like, okay, yeah, I got a little bit of faith, a grain of a mustard seed. Okay, and I can say, and that's what it says to say. But what we do a lot of times is we're like, okay, it's all on me now. It's all on my faith. And we just move God right out of the picture again. That's not what He's saying. All right, if you can just have a grain of mustard seed faith in me, I can't move the mountain. My faith can't even move the mountain. But my faith in God, my God can move the mountain. And so that's what we have to do. So it says here, He will help us either direct us out of it. Secondly, He'll make our feet like hinds' feet and we'll climb out of it. Sometimes he'll say, hey, we're just going to test your faith here. And we can ask God, help me to have the faith. And I'm trusting in you because there's my faith in you. There's nothing impossible. So here's another way God might do us. And again, it's up to God. He can do what He wants to when you're in that valley of the shadow of death. He can direct you. He can strengthen you. He can say, hey, let's just get rid of this. Or here's another way. He can help us to do a 180. A 180. Because we've talked about He's leading us to the green pasture, or we can go over here to the dead pasture. Now He's going to lead us to the green pasture. All right. Here's the still water, or here's the rampant white caps. Okay. No, He's going to lead us over here. Here's unrighteousness, here's righteousness. No, He's going to lead us to the righteousness. Same thing here. He might say, hey, I didn't lead you into the shadow. It was a decision you made, or it's something that you're lusting after, or it's something that you're desiring. And if you'll just stop and go back, do a 180 here, I'll restore unto you your strength. I'll restore unto you all the things that He restores to us if we'll just do the 180. So Acts 14:15 says this, that ye should turn from these vanities. So He's like, look, these vanities that you had, you thought you had to have them. You came this way. And all this that's going on, the bad things that are happening in your life, what you need to do is, I'm not going to direct you on through it because I didn't direct you into it. I'm not going to give you strength in your hinds feet to climb out of this because you made your bed. Okay? I'm not going to remove it. But what I will do is say, hey, if you'll do a 180, prodigal son, come to yourself, I'll be right here. All right? If you'll come on. So it says here, turn from your vanities unto the living God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is therein. So, I mean, He made heaven, He made earth, He made the seas, and He made everything that's inside heaven, everything that's inside the earth, everything that's inside the sea. That same God says, hey, if you'll do a 180, everything will be better. 2 Chronicles 7:14, very familiar verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, I'm going to go through. I'm going to make it. I'm going to get that. No. I've blown it. Pray, God, what should I do? Seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Turn around, come to yourself, do a 180 and come back. So we see that if we're in that valley of shadow of death, first of all, we can get direction. We can get strength. We can get faith. We can get a turnaround. And praise the Lord, we can get restored. Justified. Just if you'd never sinned. And of course, the Bible talks about justification in Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. All right, you went in that valley yourself. Tough. See ya. You got to live with it. You made your bed. No, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, come on back. God loves you. We're praying for you. Then it says here, consider thyself. But for the grace of God, I could have went down that path. I would have been in that valley. And it says here, lest ye also be tempted. So again, we see that when we're in that valley of the shadow of death, a lot of things God can do. He can give us strength. He can give us direction. He can give us faith. He can turn us around. He can restore us. And what we need to do, whichever way it is, what we need to do is learn from it. And this will be my last point. What should we learn from this? Psalm 119:33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of Thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. So if I did cause that valley, or if God allowed that valley, either way, I can learn from it. I'm acknowledging His presence. I'm going to seek His Word, and He's going to give me direction, strength, faith, turn me around and restore me. I can learn from that and maybe not go down that path again, especially if I cause it. Psalm 119:135 says this, make Thy face shine upon me, or upon Thy servant, and teach me Thy statutes. Learn from it so we don't have to go through it again. Another thing that we can learn from, learn when you're afraid. Learn when you're afraid. The Bible says in Psalm 56:3, for what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. God didn't say I'm going to keep you from getting scared or be afraid. But what I'm going to say is, when you are afraid, whether it's something that you've caused or something that I've allowed, you listen, learn. I'm going to trust in God. What else can we learn? We can learn when we're defenseless. We can learn when we're scared. We can learn when we're defenseless. Deuteronomy 1:30 says this, and the Lord your God, which goeth before you, He shall fight for you. We can learn that I can't fight my way through this valley. The Bible says God will fight for me. And when I'm scared, what am I supposed to do? Trust in Him. What else can I learn? I can learn when my imagination goes wild. And all of us are guilty of that. When we see a shadow, oh, I thought it was something going to attack me. Really? Okay. Well, this world, and our imagination will go crazy. Somebody, they'll have a headache, and so they'll leave church early. And everybody's like, what did I do to them? What did I say to them? Why are they offended at me? And then our mind will just start going nuts. Our mind will just go crazy. When we're in that valley of the shadow of death, people's minds go crazy. What are we supposed to do? Just like we're not going to be afraid, we're going to trust in God. Secondly, when we're defensive, we're going to realize that He'll fight for us. What do we do when our mind goes crazy on us? 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself. I mean, it's going to exalt itself. Anything that can get us bent out of shape or offended, it's going to exalt itself. I can't believe it. They're probably this and they're probably that. Cast it down. All right, and then it says here, and it exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what we can do when we're in that valley. There's something behind that tree. No, there's probably not. God's right here. He's got me. He's going to protect me. Cast those things down. Philippians 4:8. What should I think about? According to Philippians 4:8, true things, honest things, just things, lovely things, good report. This is how we're supposed to think. Not negative thoughts. Positive thoughts. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So what can we learn when we've been through that valley or if we're in that valley? Don't be afraid. Trust in God. Even if you're defensive, God can fight for you. If your mind's going nuts and the devil's messing with you, not cast those things down, bring them into captivity. Think good thoughts. So what do we do when it's dark? what do we do when it's dark? Some people are just scared of the dark. I was when I was a kid. Teenage years, you know, I wouldn't admit it. All right? But now it's no big deal. Why? Because there's stuff in the dark that can hurt you. And the devil will do that. But the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Again, I'm not saying that I would walk down the street of, you know, the most dangerous city in America by myself. Just don't go there. Use your noodle. But we see here that the devil is going to mess with us. 1 John 4:4 says this, "You are God's little children," or "you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world." So these are things that we can learn, that God is with us and God is greater than anything that's in the world. John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." And so again, darkness, obviously we need to be the children of light. What else can we learn? What can we learn when death comes? And so we see, we can learn not to be afraid, trust in God. We can learn, I can't beat the devil, I'm defenseless, but God can fight for me. I'm not going to let my imagination go crazy. I'm going to bring into captivity every thought. I'm going to think on the right things. When it's dark, obviously I'm going to realize that greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. Then when death comes, it's going to. Because of sin, death does come. So what do? When we're in that valley of the shadow of death. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says this, "We are confident." I mean, we've been talking about that word confident a lot lately. One of the points in the sermon was, don't be cocky, but be confident. You know, I can do all things through me. That's cocky. I can do all things through Christ. That's confidence. So same thing here. Death. I'm going to die one day. My loved ones are going to die one day. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So praise the Lord for salvation of yourself, and praise the Lord for salvation of your loved one. And so when you are in that valley of the shadow of death, you can be confident. All right? When they take their last breath here, they're going to wake up there. You can be confident in that. And He's telling us that. 1 Corinthians 15:55. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Obviously, when we hear of a loved one that passes away, it does hurt. And of course, you go to that graveyard and you watch them be lowered in. This is strange. But again, you can be confident that that's not them. If they were saved, they're in heaven. So why? Because 1 Corinthians 15:54 says death is swallowed up in victory. So we don't have to live in fear, whether it's in a valley or out of the valley. That fear conscience. You know, again, the smarter a person is, I guess, the more fear they have. I have a couple of grandkids that they're fearless. They will jump off a top bunk, not think of one thing about it. It's cool. It's fun. All right? Then I've got some that'll stand up there and look like, "I'm not going to do that." That first step's nothing. It's that sudden stop that's going to hurt. And so they figured it out. So a lot of times, the smarter we are, the more fear, we are. But we realize that we can have a God conscience, not a fear conscience. So God says, "Hey, don't be scared. I didn't give you that spirit." 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear." So if it's coming, it's not from God. It's from either our own dislikes or things that we're phobias of, or it's the devil, or it's this world. God didn't give us that spirit of fear because He said, "Hey, just acknowledge me, look at my scripture and realize I'm with you. I'll turn you 180. I'll help you climb those mountains. I will direct you out of here. I will do all that." So have a God conscience, not a fear conscience. So, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In other words, in captivity. Think this way. That's what God's given us. And so, last thing in conclusion we see here, He is always in control. Have a God conscience. I'm in a valley. I'm in a shadow of death. Oh my goodness. No, God's still in control. He's still in control. Then He will never leave you nor forsake you. So have this conscience, a God conscience. He's in control. He's right here with me. He's right. He's never going to leave. He's right here. Another one that we can have in a God conscience is that He is never going to leave me. Well, I blew it. He told me not to do this, and I did it anyway. He's still right there. Again, he didn't want to go to the pig pen, but prodigal son took him there because he was saved. Anytime that we're in that valley of shadow death, if we've chosen it, if we're saved and we go to the bar, or if we're saved and we go commit an act of sin, Holy Spirit's right there with us. He don't want to be there. And He wants to direct us out of there and restore. So, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, is what we talked about tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. And Lord, obviously we saw lots of biblical principles here tonight, but the biggest is just acknowledge Your presence. And then look at Your Word, or let You show us Your Word, or show the light. And then You can help us climb. You can help us move mountains. You can change the situation. You can restore us back to where we need to be. And Lord, help us to have that God conscious, not a fear conscious. In Jesus' name, amen. You're